The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Dallas, dreaming of an unstoppable offense. You will hear exactly what Jerry Jones plans to do, plus what each of these future stars needs to be most concerned about as they take the jump to the next level. And who will be the Patrick Mahomes of this year's class? Because here's a secret, there is guaranteed to be one. We'll explain how as we get up with you starting right now. It is a football Friday. This is Get Up. I'm Greeny in New York. We are 6 days from the NFL draft and we have four outstanding friends along to chat about football with you over the next 2 hours. And we got Damian Woody from his estate. We got Bart Scott from, I think, an art gallery. And we got Jeff Darlington and Mike Tannenbaum from sunny South Florida. Let's go. 6 days to round one of the NFL draft, and the Dallas Cowboys have the number 10 pick in round one. And most people expect them to take defense. But it wouldn't be the Cowboys if there wasn't a twist. On their Twitter page, they posted this video of Jerry Jones chatting with a different kind of prospect.
I'm excited to have you come into this league, and what a pair up we could do with old Dak Prescott, some of those guys that we've got out there of options to get you the ball. So we can dream of visions of sugar plums around here.
In case it wasn't clear, that was his video conference conversation with Kyle Pitts, the outstanding dynamic tight end who was coming out of Florida, who most people would describe as one of one in this draft. So he's, Bart Scott, he's dreaming. He's got visions of sugar plums and pits in his head right now. Bottom line, should the Cowboys move up aggressively and find a way to get Kyle Pitts in round one?
Absolutely. Listen, Jerry Jones doesn't dream. All his dreams have become a reality. You know, when you think about the AT&T Stadium, you think about being able to own the Cowboys. Listen, he's a guy that can get things done. He told you that he would get Dak Prescott signed. He got him signed. Could you imagine if he moves up and able to get a weapon like Pitts to pair with all the other weapons that they have? Dak Prescott, that's a better way to protect him. I know everybody wants to say, go offensive line, go defense. But you know how you improve your defense? By putting points on the board and making other teams one-dimensional. And if you have an opportunity to move it up, listen, Jerry, I'm not trying to bury Jerry Jones, but come on, man. He's getting up there in age, and he needs to see a Super Bowl before he rides off into the sunset.
And there's a lot of different ways to look at this, that we also sometimes tend to look at round one as though it's the entire draft. He has plenty of other picks to fortify the defense if he wants to. D. Wood, what do you think he should do?
Well, listen, man, Jerry Jones is the ultimate showman out here. There's a reason why the Dallas Cowboys are the most valued franchise in all of sports, but it just doesn't make any sense for Jerry Jones to try to trade up to go get a Kyle Pitts. I understand what Bart is talking about. It would be unbelievable, but Bart, you're a defensive guy. Have you taken a look at what Dallas Cowboys looked like on defense last year? They had the second worst defense and team hit in Cowboys history last year. Like you always said, they couldn't stop a nosebleed, and you want them to trade up and mortgage picks to go yes. get Kyle Pitts? Listen, I want that for the draft because it would be great theater, but just from what would be best for the Dallas Cowboys organization, they have to address the defensive side of the football.
Bart, that is a reasonable
question. Quinn.
Go ahead, Bart.
It is. It's called Dan Quinn. When you think about it, they brought in Keanu Neal. Listen, they already have two Pro Bowl caliber linebackers. They have a franchise caliber left defensive end. They went out and got Diggs last year. They brought in Dan Quinn. They're going to play a bend don't break defense. And if you have an offense that's able to put up those type of points, even the productivity that they were able to put up last year when Dak Prescott was in the lineup, being able to do what they did to the number one defense in the Rams, being able to put points up and yards up on everybody, then they can play that bend don't break cover three defense. D. Wood, they have two Pro Bowl caliber linebackers. They have a great pass rusher in Lawrence. They went out and got Diggs. They can go out and get Richard Sherman to play the other side, to play that, cover three defense and be able to be serviceable. You don't have to be great. You just have to be good enough.
Bart, is Dan Quinn going to go out there and stop the run? Because last time I checked, the Dallas Cowboys were giving them 3.5 yards per carry before anyone had touched the running back. Bart, you know that's atrocious. Listen, this is all a pipe dream. This is all about the this is all about the Dallas Cowboys staying in the news and all that. And like I said, I want to see it because of theater. But we all know the Dallas Cowboys. You got to be able to stop somebody out here, boy. It can't be Madden with all these different players on offense. You got to play some semblance of defense.
All right, let me get Darlington in here because let's assess how they would get this done if they want to get it done. It seems to me, Jeff. And you know the Dolphins situation as well as anybody. If Pitts gets to 6, I have to believe the Dolphins would take him, which means if Jerry wants him, he has to go up to 4 or 5, yes?
Yes. Look, Bart, you're doing so good at this TV stuff. Are you trying to go work for Jerry Jones? Like, you trying to get a gig under him? That's what it sounds like to me. He needs you in his war room with him. I mean, go back to 2014. When Jerry Jones was talking this very week 7 years ago about how he wanted Johnny Manziel. He went into that draft room. He was going to draft Johnny Manziel. Stephen Jones finally said, what are you thinking? Like, we can't do that. It can't do that. It can't do that this time, Bart. Bart, it can't do it. Defense. Defense. They got to go defense. There's no way they trade all the way.
What's all this slander at me?
Go ahead, Bart. Final word.
You're just so good at TV.
It's so much slander at me, man. Listen, I don't understand. Like, listen, Jerry Jones, if he gets that type of weapon, I'm telling you, you don't need a great defensive. They got enough defensive personnel. It wasn't the defense. It was the scheme in which they were playing. And Mike Nolan hadn't stopped the nosebleed in probably about 20 years. Just ask the Atlanta Falcons. Now you have somebody that's going to bend or break. If I'm going to put those type of numbers up, I'm all with it, man. Listen, I hated that. You get better defense by not having to stop the run because the team has to throw the ball to keep up.
All right, we will see what they wind up doing. For the purposes of the theater, I think we would all love to see it happen. I don't know how likely it is. Meanwhile, staying in the division, let's talk about the Eagles. From the moment they traded away Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts stepped into the role of QB1 for that team. Or so we thought. Earlier this week, the new coach, Nick Sirianni, refused to name Hurts the starter. Listen to this.
To name any starters at this particular time, we've been working with these guys for 2 days, right? We've been working with these guys for 2 days. My biggest thing is competition. Again, we've talked a little bit about my core values. It's my second core value. It's this team's second core value. Competition's a huge thing. And we're going to have competition at every position. I played a couple of them at rock, paper, scissors, right? That was as easy as that. Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are. I'm competitive. I'm going to be talking trash to him. Did you talk trash back to me? Right?
Okay. So there's that. I don't really know how to react to the rock, paper, scissors of it all here. D-Wood, go ahead. Help me here. I honestly don't know how to follow that. Go ahead, Damien.
Greeny, that was about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, literally, it makes no sense at all. You went out here and you traded away Carson Wentz. Then you traded down in the draft and you want us to believe that Jalen Hurts is not going to be the starting quarterback? Come on, man. Like Philadelphia, who are you? Who are you trying to trick here? Jalen, this is a year where Jalen Hurts is going to have an opportunity to see if he can be the long-term QB1 for the Philadelphia Eagles. We know the Philadelphia Eagles have multiple first-round picks next year. If it doesn't work out this year, they're either going to be in a position to draft another quarterback in the first round, or they're going to have the ammunition to go get a quarterback. But nobody's believing that nonsense right there. Stop it.
Okay, so Mike Tannenbaum, let me bring you in on this, because this is very much akin to something that people will come in when they try and set a tone, right? Nick Sirianni's walking in there. He's the new coach. He's going to set a tone. He's going to set his culture however it is he sees fit. And you have a great story about a time that you witnessed someone doing exactly that.
Yeah, Greeny. Actually, I have two of them. The first one was 1997. Bill Parcells is the head coach of the New York Jets. They won one game in 1996. I go into the team meeting room. I'm so excited. Iconic coach. I'm thinking that it's going to be, 45, maybe an hour in terms of setting the tone, culture, maybe there's some video. I'm in the back row, Weeb Eubank Hall. Coach Parcells walks in with a binder this thick. He walks in, he says, fellas, this dossier is the 1996 New York Jet medical report. If you can't play, you won't be here. The off-season program starts today. It's 14 weeks. Goodbye. And he walks out. And it was all about accountability. And you could hear a pin drop. Bobby Houston, a starting linebacker from the previous season, didn't show up. He got cut the next day. And that was a message sent. The other one, Greeny, our good friend Rex Ryan, 2009. We're looking for new leadership, confidence, bravado. We're competing with Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. He walks in, first press conference. Hey, I didn't come in here to kiss, you know, his rings. And we needed that at the time. We wound up going to the championship game for the next consecutive years. So when a head coach comes in, they're going to set their tone and they're going to do it in their style.
Okay, and that's all good. And look, if rock, paper, scissors is his thing, then who am I to tell Nick Sirianni that's not a good idea? But Jeff Darlington, with that thought in mind, Jalen Hurts is going to be their quarterback, yes? I mean, they're not taking a quarterback in this draft. If they wanted to do that, they wouldn't have traded back.
Well, correct, and also their backup quarterback right now, if we're calling him a backup or co-starter or whatever we're calling him, is Joe Flacco. So if you're going to create competition at the quarterback position, you've probably got to get somebody, all due respect, a little bit more competitive at this state of his career than Joe Flacco. So Nick Sirianni, to Tannenbaum's point, he planned to send this message to say we're doing this for competitive purposes. Obviously, though, it's tough to believe when it's Jalen Hurts and Joe Flacco.
Right. So a little bit later in this program, I'm going to play a spirited game of rock, paper, scissors with Mike Tannenbaum and just see if he starts talking trash with me. And if so, then we'll see if he comes back next week. All right, we're just getting started. Here we go. It could be a record-setting night for quarterbacks in the draft, but what concerns could teams have about these top prospects? We'll share as we roll on. Plus, how can the Patriots get the quarterback they need while making another team happy in return? Our GM has the trade next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
It's a Football Friday on Get Up, and before we can look ahead to the weekend, let's look back on a busy week. Jeff Darlington, give me the 3 most important things that happened in the NFL this week. I fear we may have lost Jeff. One of them was Alex Smith announcing his retirement, the comeback player of the year last year, with a remarkable season as he returned and played in Washington and played a hard role in getting that team back into the playoffs this season. Alex Smith announcing his retirement. Next up would be Trey Lance's pro day, which was on Monday, the second pro day that he held. Scouts were there, including those from the San Francisco 49ers. In fact, their head coach and their general manager were both there with the contemplation that maybe they would take him number 3 overall in the draft. And then the other thing that happened this week that we would highlight here, Tom Brady seems very upset about uniform numbers. There's a rule change the NFL has approved in which they will relax the rules on what uniform numbers people at different positions can wear. And Tom Brady quite upset with this, tweeting, among other things, why have numbers? Just have colored jerseys. Why not wear the same number? This is dumb. He suggests this is going to make for a lot of bad football. So Tom Brady seems quite upset about that. Those are just 3 of the things that happened in the NFL over the course of this week. Next up, as we work our way towards this draft, everyone waiting to see the wheeling and the dealing. Well, Mike Tannenbaum, our former general manager, of course, in 2 different places, you know about how these things work. And I know you did not sleep a minute last night putting this together. You have come up with a trade that you think will make sense, will benefit both sides, and will shake up the draft. Let's hear it.
Greeny, I really like this trade. Carolina at number 8 has Sam Darnold. They also owe the New York Jets a 2nd and 4th round pick next year. Bill Belichick despite never taking a quarterback in the first round, needs a starter to replace Cam Newton long term. If one of those quarterbacks, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, or Justin Fields is there at 8, New England should go up to the 8th pick, give up 15, and next year's one. Carolina now has the 15th pick, Sam Darnold, and 2 1s next year, and not a 2 and a 4. New England pays half the price that San Francisco did, has Cam Newton short-term, and now a quarterback long-term. And going back a number of years ago, the night before the 2007 draft, I reached an agreement in principle with Carolina to trade up for Darrelle Revis. And the reason we did that was we knew we wanted to come up for one player. Marty Herney, the general manager then, wanted to trade back. And we reached an agreement in principle, basically, where he was not going to ask for more on the clock. We were not going to try to do it for less. And we were trying to box out the competition. And I'm sure that that's what Coach Belichick's doing right now. He's talking to Denver, Carolina, and Detroit to try to put a framework of a deal together.
So let me make sure, because I understand what you're saying, and I do think it makes sense. But to be specific, are you referring to one specific, is there a particular quarterback that you think has to be there for him to want to do this, or do you think it's for any quarterback that falls there?
Well, I think it's likely that either Trey Lance or Justin Fields could be there. I do think Mac Jones will go 3, and I think either of those two quarterbacks has tremendous potential and a high ceiling, and if they could sit for a year and be coached by Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, I think that's a great situation for both that player and the Patriots organization. And to do it for only 1-1 in 2022 is really smart business.
Okay, so maybe a trade that helps both teams. Bart Scott, you look skeptical. What do you think?
No, in the words of old school, that was perfect. I have nothing to add to that. I mean, that's absolutely what I believe the Patriots should do, especially if San Francisco messes the entire draft up by taking Mac Jones. I mean, I think that would be the I'm looking at it with disgust because, once again, the Patriots finished on top. They had a tremendous offseason. If you add a guy like Trey Lance or add a guy like Justin Fields, imagine what that can do. Finally, Josh McDaniels has a mobile quarterback in his prime right now that can control the backside defensive end and a backside linebacker that creates tremendous pockets to throw the ball to. You know, when you have a mobile quarterback that you have to respect his ability to boot, also to be able to hold the backside defensive end, it creates tremendous running lanes, and I believe that's the way that Bill Belichick wants to win. And also it gives them a cheap quarterback where they can go out and luxury spend again, and the whole league will be in trouble again. So please, thanks a lot, San Francisco. I love you, but I got to do you.
Okay, so Bart Scott likes it. Damian Woody, what do you think?
No, I absolutely agree with Mike Tannenbaum. I think when you're the Patriots, you spent like a drunken sailor for this free agency. You addressed a plethora of positions, both on offense and defense, but the one position they didn't address was the quarterback position. And all you have to do is look within your own division to see what's going on and the sense of urgency that the Patriots have this year. You had the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, who's, you know, right on the precipice of being an MVP. You got Tua down there in Miami. The Jets are going to draft more than likely Zach Wilson at the number 2 pick. So if you're the Patriots, you got Cam Newton on a 1-year deal, and you don't have a viable quarterback for the future. So this is a prime opportunity for the Patriots to address that, and that quarterback not be in a position where they have to be pressed into a starting role because you have Cam Newton on the roster.
So everyone seems to like it, Jeff. Let's talk about the likelihood that he does it. This is something Bill Belichick has never done in his entire career as a coach or the leader of an organization in the NFL. Now, the obvious caveat is that for the overwhelming majority of that time, he had Tom Brady as his quarterback, so he didn't have to do it. So how would you assess the likelihood that Belichick shakes up this draft by trading up for a quarterback?
So this is complicated to your exact points. When I have conversations with people around the NFL, they don't know what to expect from Belichick in this situation. They feel like they've got some sort of sense that he doesn't often trade up in the draft without a very clear target. Normally, it's all about acquiring picks. This is not a traditional year when it comes to Belichick. So, to your point, there still is a skeptical sense around the league that he will be overly aggressive to move into that spot. But one thing we should point out is that Belichick has been hitting up these quarterback pro days like never before. He was even at Trevor Lawrence's pro day, knowing he wasn't going to draft him because he wants to understand the landscape of this quarterback class better than anyone. So he is very clearly targeting a quarterback in this draft. It's a matter of who, and it's a matter of where.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating to see. He has a couple of options. He could move up and try and go the way that Mike Tannenbaum is suggesting. There are also quarterbacks who are going to go after round one in this draft that he may become enamored of. So we will wait and see there. Guys, sit tight. Much more football as we go. But let me get to the return of the night. Hollywood style, it was Anthony Davis back on the floor for the Lakers for the first time since February 14th. With a minutes restriction, and there was no question he was a little rusty early. You see the miss there. Later in the first quarter, here's his first bucket in his return. And you see he just knows he doesn't quite have it, but he'll work his way back into shape. He would wind up playing just about 17 minutes last night. There's a kick out to Ben McLemore. Davis would score 4 points on 2 of 10 shooting. Later in the second, it's Kristaps Porzingis. Look at him taking it into the hole and throwing it down. He would score 19. Mavs had a 10-point lead. Then fourth quarter, Dallas is up by 7, 4 minutes to go. Here comes Luka. Why give it up when you can just do this? 30 points, 9 boards, 8 assists for Luka. Mavericks win, spoiling the return of AD. 115-110 is your final. And the Lakers, well, they were second in the West when AD first got hurt. In the 30 games without him, LA has fallen to the 5 seed, and they are currently just 2.5 games away from playing in the play-in tournament. So let's see where they go from here. Coming up, drafting Zach Wilson, number 2, seems like a done deal. Is he built for the pressures of New York? Should the Jets be concerned? We'll answer those questions next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back bearing down on the draft, and there are always concerns about all the quarterbacks we will see in round one. D. Wood, what is your biggest concern about Mac Jones?
Yeah, my biggest concern, can you win because of Mac Jones? Listen, he's been surrounded by great talent at Alabama, and he's very accurate with the football, high football IQ. But can he make those 2 or 3 plays in a game to put his team over the top? That remains to be seen.
Mike T, you're next. What is your biggest concern about Justin Fields?
Accuracy under pressure. Greeny, when you're breaking down quarterbacks, you're asking this question about each and every one of them. And if you go to your Northwestern Wildcats, and how he played, he only completed 44% of his passes in that game, and that would be a concern. That Northwestern game showed some concerns about accuracy under pressure.
And then Bart, how about Zach Wilson, future Jets quarterback? What's your biggest concern?
Pain, Greeny. Pain. And I'm hoping that he doesn't have to deal with a lot of pain, because this offensive line is relatively the same as it was last year. They have to upgrade it, maybe a guy like Tevin Jenkins, so that they can lean on the running game and only make this kid have to throw the ball about, you know, 10, probably about 20 to 25 times a game, protect him from himself until you can get a better roster around him, Greeny.
He does have a history of injury concerns, and he's not as you could see from the video there, he's a little bit slight of build. But speaking of Zach Wilson, the Jets' new coach, Robert Saleh, talked yesterday about the risk of drafting a rookie quarterback. Here's what he said.
I don't think there's risk. You know, it still comes down to having a good football team and building a good roster around everybody. I mean, there's players here that are talented. There's rookies that are going to be coming in that are talented. And so as far as pressure is concerned, there's no pressure on me. It's just there's always pressure. There's always pressure to put together the best football team we possibly can, regardless of who's playing.
So that's a lot of words. Damian Woody, all three of you know that team. All three of you know the market. You're all, I can see the expression on all of your faces. D. Wood, I'll let you go first. What is your reaction to the idea that there isn't additional pressure on Zach Wilson this year?
Oh, he about to find out. That all sounds nice. It all sounds good. But everyone on this panel knows when you play in this market, man, you're in a pressure cooker because it's a situation where one game you can have total, just have total ecstasy as far as, you know, the reaction from fans, talk radio, but let you go on a 3-game losing streak and see what happens in this market. It'll feel like the end of the world around here. So, you know, you got a rookie head coach, rookie quarterback. They're going to have to navigate these waters because, to me, this is the toughest market to play in.
Mike T, you know it well as well, and you made an interesting point this morning about the magnification of the attention.
He is in for a rude awakening. I thought his comments were somewhat naive. It's times 10 in New York. When it's great, it's times 10. When it's bad, it's times 10. Coach Parcells used to say, there's two stages in New York, euphoria and disaster and nothing in between.
Reminds me of my entire fandom, my entire life. Now, Bart, you're still around the group a lot. What is your sense of that, of their understanding of what they are in for here with all the expectation of the number two pick?
You don't know what you don't know. And the fact that he's coming in number two means that he has to be the savior. Much like Sam Darnold had to be the savior, you know, just, what, 3 seasons ago? He's going to have to come in. They have to do a better job in making sure that they protect him. It has to be all about Zach Wilson. Now, listen, I've been to 2 AFC championships with 2 rookie quarterbacks, one in Joe Flacco, the other in Mark Sanchez. They don't have that type of team around him. So they have to protect him from himself. They have to bring him along slowly and give him a little bit of the playbook. But you got to allow this kid to play fast and be able to hand the ball off. Because if you try and give him too much and he gets exposed and you talk about his injury history, you know, it could be a short run. And if this guy starts to lose his confidence, he's going to start seeing ghosts.
Yeah, the Jets have never, well, that's an expression that most people in New York right now know exactly what you mean and never want to hear again. For the record, in the common draft era, the Jets have never taken a quarterback this high. They took Joe Namath number one in 1965, but that was in the American Football League. So in the common draft era, Zach Wilson will be the highest draft pick they've ever used on a quarterback. Let's see where it goes. Meanwhile, with the draft 6 days away, yesterday on Twitter, we asked you to submit your draft questions for our brand new draft insider, Matt Miller, and for me, and we are delighted to be able to do those. And so, Matt, as always, thank you. And the first question, let's pop it up there on the screen if we can. The first question for us comes from Cuffy Von Cohort, who asks, everyone is talking about the Patriots trading up for a quarterback. Who is the first round target if it's not a quarterback? And where could they add one later? Matt, what's the answer?
Yeah, Greeny, if it's not a quarterback, I think you have to look at that secondary. Going back to Bill Belichick's roots a little bit, I think J.C. Horn from South Carolina would be a great scheme fit here. Stephon Gilmore has been rumored the last season to be traded. We could see him playing, you know, his last year in New England. So I think finding that next corner, and Horn at 6'2", he's the most physical corner in this class. Very good ball skills. He is the type of player I think would fit. As where can they find a quarterback outside of round one? We've talked before, Greeny. Kyle Trask, Davis Mills, and Kellen Mond in round two are good players. They're just not quite ready to play in 2021.
Yeah, Mills is the one of those three that I like the best, but clearly is the least ready to play. If you're looking for another direction, I could see Belichick going at 15. Our research department tells me one of their primary needs is interior defensive line. You know how much Bill Belichick loves Nick Saban, Alabama players. Christian Barmore is someone whose name I'm hearing more and more closer to the top of this draft. He was the defensive MVP of the national championship game. He had 8 sacks from the interior of that defensive line last year. Christian Barmore from Philadelphia is a player that I could see Bill Belichick giving some consideration to at 15. I think he's going to go higher than most people are generally projecting to this point. All right, the next one is from Daniel Mill 12, and he asks, would the Broncos take Mac Jones if he is there at 9? Matt, what's the answer?
Oh, that is a tough one. I think probably so, but the thing with Mac Jones is he doesn't seem to fit the type that they have there, and a lot will depend on what their actual type is. What does this new regime under George Payton want at the quarterback position? John Elway definitely favored stronger armed players. We've talked before, Mac Jones has the least arm strength of the top 5, honestly, maybe of the top 8 quarterbacks in this class, so I do think they would because of his football IQ, his processing speed, what he does from the pocket, but I do think that that would be a tough conversation they have to have on the clock.
Well, Matt, and I'd like to hear your reaction to this, because yesterday when I did a mock draft here for the program on this show and on my radio show, I forecast Denver to move up aggressively. That's a team I could see. Everyone's talking about Pittsburgh and Chicago and Washington and even New England. There's so much later in this draft. I could see the Broncos pinpointing one guy they want and going up to four to get him. Now, I would expect that to be maybe Justin Fields or Trey Lance, more than Mac Jones, who may go at three. But I expect Denver to make an aggressive move, or at least I wouldn't be surprised if they make an aggressive move up for a quarterback. What do you think?
Yeah, I've been forecasting the same thing. In a year where we're all doing trades on our mock drafts, finally, I think Denver is one of those teams. You're right, everyone talks about New England, but going from 15 to 4 is very expensive, and Belichick might not want to give up that many draft picks. But I think for Denver to go from 9 to 4, that's really an intriguing situation for the Atlanta Falcons, even if they don't have to go that high. Going from 9 to 7 where the Detroit Lions pick, I think makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so let's see. We'll leave that one there. And there's one more question that we have for you here, and this one is from Marty. Marty Lal's show, which I think is just a delightful name, who asks, my question is this. Why the blank aren't we talking about Kellen Mond? I'm not seeing anything that makes him less desirable than any of the other guys everyone is incessantly talking about. Am I missing something? Matt, is he missing something?
I think what we're missing here is inconsistency. Kellen Mond will make throws where your eyes jump out of your head. He's a great four-year starter in the SEC, but just the inconsistency. And something that you hear a lot from Jimbo Fisher-coached quarterbacks is that they're very mechanical, almost robotic. They're not able to adjust off of what is designed for them. So Kellen Mond, while a very good athlete, he has a huge arm, a ton of experience. You see a player who really has to play within the framework of his offense. What are we hearing so much of this year? We want guys who are off-platform. Quarterbacks who can go create. It's not really Kellen Mond's game.
Yeah, from what I understand, my expectation is that after we get past the big five, there will still be two more quarterbacks who will go before he will, if I were to make a projection here. And those would be Davis Mills and Kyle Trask from Florida. Does that make sense to you, Matt?
It does. And again, it goes back to the system a little bit. You're looking at what this player has been asked to do and then what you believe he can do moving forward. With Kyle Trask, the accuracy is better. And with Davis Mills, yes, he only started 11 games in college. His arm strength is fantastic, a former five-star recruit. His mobility is pretty good for a 6'5", 220 quarterback. So as good as Kellen Mond was for A&M, getting them to the top five last year, I think the inconsistency and some of that robotic nature of his game will probably make him the eighth quarterback drafted.
And does that mean that he can't have an outstanding career? Obviously not.
Absolutely not.
No one
right.
would be stunned.
Absolutely not.
If he winds up being a great player. Matt, thanks for jumping in here. And thank you for the questions. And we'll keep doing those as we go. Matt, stay close by. But I got to run the bases here through a big night in the majors last night. Some good baseball. The Yankees finally won a game. Started badly. They were losing. But then Rougned Odor had a two-run single to break a seventh-inning tie. And they came back to beat Cleveland 6-3. It was the most runs the Yankees have scored since April 11th. Most hits they've had in a game since April 7th. It was a win they needed. How about Mitch Haniger? A three-run homer in the top of the 10th. Giving Seattle a 7-3 win over the Red Sox. Seattle is the first team to score seven or more runs on three or fewer hits in a game since 1994. Padres able to preserve a 3-2 win over the Dodgers courtesy of an amazing 4-6-3 double play that ended the eighth. The umpires would confirm the out at first after a replay review. Dodgers have lost three of four after starting this season 13-2. And what a lineup we have for you this weekend. Tomorrow night on ABC, Luka and the Mavs hosting AD and the Lakers. UFC 261 is on pay-per-view with three titles on the line. Sunday afternoon, we got the Nets and the Suns. And then our Sunday night baseball matchup, the series finale between the Padres and the Dodgers. What a lineup coming your way this weekend. Meanwhile, Get Your Eyes Checked is brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. And take a look at this fan at the game in Arizona. Just watch him close. He's going to go flying. D Wood, take a look at what happens here. He's going to lose a shoe and his nachos.
Oh, Greeny, hell no. I'm not losing no nachos over no damn baseball. Come on now. You see the big fellow over here. You know what I value more. I'm going to eat those nachos, but please believe it.
That is just a mess. Okay, very well done.
That's
as we
terrible.
Continue, if we knew then what we know now, which player in this draft will be the best at his position not drafted first? That's the question, and the answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. So this was a fun exercise that we did. We took a look back at some players who were not drafted first at their positions, but have turned into great players in the NFL. And the obvious place to start is with Patrick Mahomes. He was the second quarterback off the board in the 2017 draft. Mitchell Trubisky had gone ahead of him. Mahomes obviously has turned out well. Stephon Diggs was the 20th wide receiver taken in the 2015 draft. Since then, he has the most catches and second most yards among the guys in his draft. David Bakhtiari was the 8th offensive tackle selected in the 2013 draft. No other offensive lineman in his class has started more games than he has. So let's figure out who are going to be these players of our future. We'll each take one from a different position group. And Mike Tannenbaum, this was your idea, so I will give you the first choice. Give me a player who won't be the first off the board at his position, who's going to be a star.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Thanks, Greeny. I'm going to go with Alabama wide receiver Jalen Waddle. I expect Ja'Marr Chase from LSU to be the first receiver. But when we look at those four great wide receivers from Alabama over the last 2 years, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle has more yards per catch, more yards per target. And Greeny, I was at the national championship game. He was out there on one leg. His toughness is unquestioned. I think he's going to be a superstar, and I think he'll be the best receiver from this class.
Can I just lodge a brief complaint here? I mean, it was your idea, this whole, but you just picked a guy who's going to go in the top 10 of the draft. I mean, that's hardly like taking a flyer on some sleeper. This guy's going to hear his name called, but within an hour of the start of this thing. So I lodge a little bit of a complaint. All right, Bart, let's see if you
guilty
give us someone a little more off the wall.
Well, you know, Uncle TB, I love you, but, you know, you say that Waddle's going to be the best out of this draft. I believe it's going to be Rashad Bateman. You think about Rashad Bateman, 6'2", over 1,200 yards receiving. He's a guy that, you know, has the comp to Michael Thomas. He's a guy that you can expect to be, you know, big in a run game, blocking as well. He's a guy that has tremendous ball skills. And what we always talk about in this modern day of football, we talk about catch radius. Look at that, a little shake and bake R2, L2. You know, this guy can play at a high level. He can high point the ball. He's a mismatch, you know, at 210 pounds to be able to make moves after the catch.
He had a quiet year last year. He had COVID. He had repercussions from that a couple of years ago. He might have been someone we'd have been talking about going higher. As it is, he may go in the late in the first round of this one. I like that pick. Matt, give me one. Give me a player who won't go first at his position.
I tried to pick someone who won't go in the first round. So I'm going to go North Carolina running back Javonte Williams. Bart, you would love him. He is the most violent running back in the 2021 draft class, and it's not even close. 51 broken tackles last year. That led the nation. He seeks contact, which we might want to ask him to do a little bit less of, but he's also a very good receiver out of the backfield. Look at the B-roll hitting right on time. He is slippery. He's violent. And Mac Brown has told people, Javonte Williams was the dude on our team. He was the leader that set the tempo, not Sam Howell, not some defender. It was Javonte Williams. And I love that about his game.
He figures to be the third running back off the board. It's interesting. He was sixth in the country in rushing. He was second on his own team. But he is the one who will go higher of that group. I will go at the risk of being accused of being a homer. I will go with Greg Newsome, who is the cornerback out of Northwestern, who I believe will be the fourth corner off the board in this draft, maybe third, late first round. And I have watched every snap he has played in his entire career. He was a Chicagoland area kid. He had a great game against Purdue's David Bell that I think opened up a lot of eyes. He will take anybody in man. He doesn't back down from anything. He is tough. He hits people. He's a leader. He's a terrific player. I think Greg Newsome, who was a guy you will see go late in the first round, has a really good chance to wind up being the best corner at this draft. And Northwestern will have two players selected in round one next Thursday night, which will be a lot of fun. All right, guys, sit tight. Much more as we go. But it's fight night tomorrow. It's on the way. And here we go. UFC 261. And the main event is a great one. Kamaru Usman defending his welterweight belt for the second time against George Masvidal. It's a rematch of their fight last July in which Usman won via decision. And we'll remind you that DraftKings is the official daily fantasy sports partner of UFC. And this Saturday, new players can play free for over $50,000 in prizes when you make your deposit, download the DraftKings app, and sign up with promo code Octagon for your shot at $50,000 in prizes only at DraftKings. And we are joined now by our UFC analyst extraordinaire, Daniel Cormier. Good to see you, Daniel. And so let's dive into this a little bit here. Masvidal loses the first match, but he took that fight on 6 days' notice. So how does the additional time for him to prepare, how does that change your expectation for this match?
Well, now, Greeny, he has a full training camp, so he can prepare himself. He doesn't have to, like, crash diet to get down to the weight class. He said today he weighed 178 pounds, or yesterday. At this point in the first fight, he was still like 188, 190, having to make 170. So the weight cut will be less daunting. He's had more time to prepare. And he said he took a lot from fighting Usman the first time. A lot of the things that his team thought was going to be there really did present themselves. So now it's on him to try to take advantage of all those things that they picked up on in the first fight.
Now, that does sound like it would make a big difference. Having said that, he's a bigger underdog this time than he was the first time. So what specifically does he need to do to pull off the upset?
You know, honestly, man, when you watch the fight and you watch Kamaru Usman and how special he is, you know that it'll take a real perfect performance to beat him. For Jorge Masvidal, it's either going to be him stopping him, trying to knock him out, or trying to maintain his distance. He had no answers for Usman's clinch game the last time. So if Usman can get close and make him wrestle with him, fight him in close quarters, he will have difficulty. So he's got to maintain distance, and he's got to really hope to pick Usman apart or find that shot that just puts him out.
And, you know, we're so very much looking forward to the fight. But while we have you here, all of us at the program wanted to extend our congratulations to you on the honor this week. You were inducted into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame with an extraordinary class that included our dear friend Marcus Spears. Congratulations. What was that experience like?
Greeny, it was fantastic. You know, you don't know what's going to be at the end of your sports career, right? We do sports because we love them. You don't do them for these accomplishments and accolades and these to get recognized. But to be inducted into the Hall of Fame in a state like Louisiana with all those guys, with Marcus Spears and Ed Reed, Peyton and Eli Manning, with Jake DeLone, it was just a fantastic honor for me. And, you know, for it to be recognized, when your work's recognized, you're just forever grateful. And they say it takes a village to raise a champion, and I definitely had a village behind me. So I'm a very blessed man. Thank you guys so much.
Of course. It's well-deserved. Thank you very much for getting up with us here. Have a great weekend. We're looking forward to the fight.
Thank you so much. You're the man, Greeny.
Well, and again, the fight is tomorrow. It's UFC 261, and it's absolutely stacked. Three titles on the line. The prelims will start 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes, with the main card beginning at 10 Eastern on pay-per-view. To order in English and Spanish, go to ESPNPlus.com/PPV. All right, let's run the floor. Kemba Walker was electric for the Celtics last night, hitting 5 threes, matching his season high with 32. Celtics rolled to a 99-86 win over the Suns. Boston has won 9 of its last 11 games. Elsewhere, a collision of superstars. Joel Embiid went against Giannis Antetokounmpo. Embiid led the Sixers with 24, but Giannis led the game with 27, and Milwaukee got the win by a touchdown, 124-117. Big win for the Bucks. How about Zion? He had 23 points in just 23 minutes, helping the Pelicans beat the Magic 135-100. Brandon Ingram added 29 points, and the win would break a 4-game losing streak for New Orleans. All right, we're just getting rolling. As we continue, Jerry Jones has the Cowboys dreaming of sugar plums with Pitts. Will Dallas make the move to thrill the fans and shake up the draft? That's next.